Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3.
I'm Michelle Martin, sitting across the Straits Times Singaporean of the Year, Siti Nur Mastura. She understands that the key enabler of interfaith dialogue is really in interfaith understanding depends on dialogue and really coming up close with perhaps scriptural passages. She also helps homebound elderly and single mothers with the delivery of halal groceries through her non-profit organization, Back to Basics, which she started back in 2013. She's just 29. And so here you are, Singaporean of the Year 2018, just named. How does that make you feel?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me here.
Great to see you again. I think we should tell people that we actually met about 4 or 5 years ago.
Really?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, Siti was my guest on a radio program called Women of Worth, already a woman of worth 5 years ago.
Wow.
So I'd like to take some credit, okay,
yes,
for you becoming Singaporean of the Year. But congratulations.
Thank
and
you.
I was surprised to read that you say, when you know, getting the prize, because you've done so much great work and at just 29, you say you feel a bit of imposter syndrome?
Yeah, you know, because I was sitting across, I mean, I don't know if you've read the story of all the other nominees, the finalists, and they were mind-blowing. I was sitting across, just next to Adeline, actually, who was one of the couple that raised, you know, all the kids. They basically took in all the kids in their house and raised them. And I actually asked her, you know, how long will this kid stay with you? Because I thought, you know, it's like foster, right? Like 6 months, a couple of years. And she actually said, well, you know, some of them may go, but some of them will probably stay and we'll marry them off until they get married.
Yeah. So incredible people
and
in your midst, like, among the 11 finalists.
Yeah. So I was like, you know, there's something I cannot even do. So, you know, so I didn't expect at all to win. So when I did, I was like, really?
Such humility, such humility. Well, congratulations.
Thank
Why
you.
Do you think you won, though?
Wow. I would say, I mean, I think it may have a lot of it to do with, I think what they were trying to showcase was really a young person who maybe had a lot of reasons to not achieve things, you know, so based on my past and all that kind of things.
I think we should give listeners a sense of that, actually. So you grew up in a household that did not have it easy. You didn't have it easy growing up. Your parents were divorced.
Yeah, so I think everything started basically going downhill when I was like 17 onwards. Mm. So growing up, I mean, I was born into a fairly comfortable family and, you know, all of that was normal and good.
And then at 17?
And then at 17, after the divorce, that's when everything kind of started, you know, tumbling down, basically.
Because your mother was depressed?
My mother, yeah. So my parents got divorced and then we didn't have a house to live in for like the next 5 years. So towards the end of it, even, you know, food was like a scarcity and luxury for us.
So and you had a sister who was struggling as well,
yeah,
with bipolar disorder.
Exactly. So, you know, I even attempted suicide twice in my life. So there were a lot of reasons to basically easily give up. But, you know, thankfully things took a better turn. You know, my mom has really supportive siblings and we had a lot of supportive people around us basically to say, listen, this is not how your story ends. And so when that eventually, you know, when we came to a point where, you know, things were much better, I was blessed to have met friends as well, like my co-founder for Back to Basics and Interfaith Youth Circle, who had similar passions for starting the organization. So, yeah.
What was the turning point for you? Do you think, I remember you were telling me that you were actually watching TV and mm-hmm. that prompted a spark when you see a certain preacher come on TV. That prompts a spark for you to eventually start Interfaith Youth Circle.
Back to Basics. So that one was for Back to
Back
Basics.
Back to Basics.
Yes. So, so he was basically, you know, it was actually online and he was speaking from, I don't know, like London or something, to the crowd there. But he was essentially talking to everyone and saying, you know, even those of you listening to me online, you know, you make sure you are responsible for your community. So if you see someone who needs help, that is your responsibility to do something about it. So it was very direct. It was
so like, amazing how words can change out the
I
trajectory
know.
Of our life. You hear that and then you realize that you are responsible as
and
well.
And then I'm like, oh no, I'm responsible. Yeah.
So you start back to basics, which basically takes halal groceries to homebound elderly and single mothers.
Yep. But it's not just limited to them. So what we essentially try to do is actually get families that fall between the cracks. So families that go unseen, because a lot of times families that need help, they already know where to go. And those are the families that are under the FSCs and are getting, you know, the subsidies from wherever the organizations are. But there are also, like, for example, my family, even though we're, you know, if anyone looking at the outside, they're like, okay, you guys need help, like, yesterday, you know. But we still felt like, oh, you know, there are probably people worse off than us. You know, we are
not. Even though there were times when food was a scarcity for you.
Exactly. And that could also come from the fact that, because I came from a fairly comfortable life before. Mm. So when this happened, you know, it wasn't like this has always been my life.
Right,
so I felt
right.
that, you know.
You still felt that you were, you know, privileged in some sense.
Yeah, in some sense.
That not would, that bad off.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. But so a lot of these families are born into it. So then it becomes like, oh, this is the natural way of life.
How do you find these families between the cracks then?
So that's actually, credit for that goes to our Singaporeans, actually. So the people who come to volunteer for Back to Basics, we want it to be a volunteer-led initiative. So we tell them, you know, you need to look out for your neighbours. You need to start looking out for your friends in school who don't go for recess because they say, oh, you know, I want to study for a test. But, you know, a lot of, because I realised that I had friends like that in school, who would skip recess time because under the pretext of studying for a test, but then later on finding out that they actually didn't have money to buy food or, you know, things like that. So we actually tell our volunteers to look out for your neighbours, your friends, your families. And then they actually come back to us and say, you know what, I have a neighbour who lives here and I think she needs help. Can you go check her out? So that's how our pool actually grows. So.
Just tremendous. She is a Straits Times Singaporean of the Year. I am chatting with Siti Noor Mastura. What do you make of the state of interfaith understanding here in Singapore? As someone who's founded the Interfaith Youth Circle.
I think we've come a long way. The interfaith scene in Singapore has come a really long way. Back then when I started out as a youth, I couldn't access any place that I wanted to that spoke about controversial issues pertaining to faith and race. But right now that has changed. The whole scene has changed. You see a lot of people starting up their own initiatives, like Roses of Peace, Hash Peace. These are all done by youth as well. So it has changed.
Yes. You started this in 2015, and there was a course that you took before this that actually led to that.
Yes, so I actually went for the Cambridge Interfaith Summer Program, which was held in Cambridge itself. And that was a month, so it was about a month of staying with Jews, Muslims and Christians from all denominations. Very interesting experience, but I learned a lot. And one of the main things that they trained us for was for scriptural reasoning.
Which is something that you brought back.
Which is something that I brought back because I thought it was so powerful. Because I had an experience where, you know, I was sitting across a Christian and one of the texts that we were discussing was actually, you know, Jesus himself saying, I have not come to bring peace, but the sword. And that's really controversial, especially if, you know, you're just reading it offhand. Mm. But he, you know, he sat down and, you know, he was trying to explain to me what the context was and how he took that sentence and what that meant for them. And then later on, when I came back to Singapore, I was sitting with, you know, my Muslim friends and somehow that sentence cropped up again and they were saying things and I said, no guys, hold on a second. This is what this sentence actually means to some Christians. You know, this is how they look at it. And they were like, oh, really? Like, how do you know? And I was like, well, because I spoke to them and they told me. And they were like, oh, okay. And, you know, it kind of, and I realized that, wow, what actually happened was I sort of became an ambassador for that text, though I was not Christian and there was no Christian person who was there to speak up for themselves for their text. And I thought that was amazing.
Very powerful.
Yeah.
So you're Indian Muslim and you say growing up an Indian Muslim woman has sort of raised questions in your mind about the number of female figures known within the ethnic group. And so that's sort of part of the reason why championing ethnic minority women is a new passion for you.
That's right. I am really excited about this. But yeah, like, you know, I was saying earlier, when I was growing up, there was, first of all, I had the conflict of identity. You know, I was too Malay to be Indian, too Indian to be Malay, so I never really fit in anywhere. And also, you know, representation matters, you know, it's really important. So I didn't have that you know, Indian Muslim women, like that wasn't very common as I was growing up. So right now I've got a niece and she's like, you know, a year and a half. And just like 2 days ago, because International Women's Day is coming up. So I was sitting with my parents, my mom and my sisters, my aunt, and I was saying, guys, name me, you know, inspirational women that you know. And they started naming a lot of names, but a lot of them were not Indian, first of all. Very few Malays as well. And then I went down, I said, okay, name me Indian Muslim women. And they could hardly come up with like three names.
Besides you.
So I thought, okay, wow, you know, this is something that I, because I know there are women out there, but the fact that, you know, it's not highlighted, we're not bringing it up. So it also says, you know, what then are we telling the younger generation of Indian Muslim women? What are we telling them?
So this is your new passion. You're going to be looking out at ways to look at Indian Muslim women and champion them?
Yes, yes.
Hold them up as role models?
Yes.
Hmm. Now, when it comes to women, you shared with me that there was actually a discussion within the Interfaith Youth Circle that was very, very popular, and it was about women in religion.
Yep. I think usually, especially when it comes to the Abrahamic faiths, when you talk about women, that's one of the most popular topics, whether it's amongst women or men. So we had that session and a lot of people came down for that. But the good thing that came out of that was a lot of them were actually championing the rights of women. But it was also to look at historical texts that can easily be interpreted as not championing the rights of women. So that was, I think, something that people wanted to just find out and reconcile with. Like, you know, how do... But it's interesting because you see people from the same faith interpreting the text very differently.
Mm-hmm.
And in two extremes sometimes as well. And they're from the same faith. So it's not like you're not even talking about people from different religions. But then what that allows you to see is, okay, you know, this person is actually speaking from her upbringing, her community, or his upbringing and his community. This is how they actually look at women.
How can people understand. Get involved in these inter-youth circles, interfaith youth circles?
So we're very much on social media. So if you go online, if you look for Interfaith Youth Circle, whether on Facebook or Instagram, or Back to Basics on Facebook or Instagram, you'll find us, drop us a message, and we'll basically link you up in our database. We have scriptural reasoning every month. In Back to Basics, we do our drives every month as well. So it's something that you can, you know, you're not committed to it. You can come anytime.
Perfect.
Yep.
Now, your story of, you know, growing up and then your life changing at 17, making it through two suicide attempts is really inspirational for many young women out there, I think, trying to make their way through a family breaking down or through a tough time in their life. What would you say pulled you through, particularly those two attempts to end your life? What pulled you through?
For me, it really was the faith that I had. But also this really inner faith that I had, first and foremost, in myself. So as much as, you know, because it takes a lot of courage to actually take that jump, to take that step and to actually say, this is it, you know, my world has ended and there's nothing else left for me. But I knew that I couldn't do that because something in me kept telling me, it can't be, this is not how my story ends. Not for me.
It takes even more courage to write a new chapter.
Yeah. So so it happened twice. And the second time when it happened, I told myself, no, I will not do this again. And there has to be a way out. You know, I'm at the lowest point. The only way is up. So I think it's very important to first and foremost, before, you know, anyone else, to actually believe in yourself first. Because you're the only person who can do that for yourself.
What are some of the biggest learning points for you when it comes to building a nonprofit organization? Many young people out there might have the hope to do something similar.
Yep, I would say, you know, like the Nike slogan, just do it. But first and foremost, I think it will be very, very good to actually map out the scene that you want to help in. So a lot of times, even though you may see people doing similar things, usually there are some gaps that are not being filled. So zoom in on that gap and make that your niche. So that's the first important thing. And second, again, is to be very persistent and be very sure about your intention, why you're doing this.
What was your why?
So for me, it was basically my personal experience for Back to Basics. I went through that and I said to myself, I don't want any other family to go through this
ever again. To feel hunger.
Yep. So that was my why. And now we've actually evolved. We've kind of evolved into empowerment, education and employment for our family. So it's not just giving them food, but we want to lift them out of this vicious cycle. So that will happen along the way. Like your organization is going to evolve into different things and you should be able to adapt to that. But always remember why you started, because challenges can come.
Yeah.
But if you remember your why and it's strong enough, you will push through.
So you're a role model now for many young women out there. Who are your role models?
Well, very easily, my mom. She's definitely my first role model. It was so funny because yesterday we were just talking about this and I was telling her, Mom, you know, you're actually like, I don't know if I can say this on air, but you know, she's like a fighter cock, basically. She very easily, you know.
She gets angry quickly.
Yeah, she's like, you know, very defensive for us and, you know, she gets that. And then she's saying, oh, you know, you should stop telling people, you know, that I'm like this because, you know, it makes me sound bad. And I said, no. I said, this is great because if you were not like this, if you were not standing up for your rights, if we didn't see you doing that, imagine what we will become.
Oh.
You know, it's so easy for people to step over us because our mom was not like that. Why would we be like that? So, you know, her strength and the way she fights for us or the way she fights for herself, I think that gave us a lot of courage. So, yeah, she's definitely.
So, mom is
right
one
there.
Assertive mom, right?
Yep. You're writing it down.
I'm writing assertive mom. Any other role models?
You know, I know this sounds biased, but a lot of the women comes from my family. But it's true because, you know, I have, like, for example, my sister who had bipolar disorder, you know, and she suffered that for like a good 5 years of her life. But today, you know, she has not had a single relapse. She's actually sitting on the board of directors for Club Heal, which is a mental health organization. She's a mental health advocate. You know, so she does amazing work through her art. So she's an artist as well. And, you know, she actually helps doctors and nurses help them understand what goes through the mind of someone with bipolar disorder. Like she sits, you know, with them and guide them through that. So I'm like, wow, you know, that's my eldest sister. My younger sister, who's only turned like 21 years old, she's the president of Back to Basics.
She works with you. Yeah.
And yeah, and so three, so before she even turned 18, she was running Back to Basics on her own. So my auntie as well, she had like a near life accident. Today she's written like 2 books on basically building yourself. So the doctors actually told her you'll never be able to walk again. But today we actually just found out she's actually the only Indian Muslim woman coach in Singapore, like a life coach. She's the only
what
one that actually exists. Zai Mystic. So she goes by the name Zai Mystic. Yeah. So
so you come from a family of amazing women.
Yes.
It's almost inevitable that you would walk away with the honor of Straits Times Singaporean of the Year. We wish you all the best in your future.
Thank you so much, Michelle.
Thanks for being here with us.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.